We play with them on the playground, just sharing our experiences with them. Looking at the people's faces just light up and just feeling their joy in them as we finish installing the water filters there was just amazing. It was nice seeing everyone interacting with the people in the village and seeing how others were just filling everyone with joy and just having fun with the whole village and the people. One thing I saw about the cultural food is that almost in every meal that we had, there was plantains in them, so that was a fun one. My most memorable experience was one of our tour guides, his name was Thomas, and he only spoke Spanish, but he was a very bright guy, and he would always come up with a way to give you a joke or make you laugh, so that was always funny. He would always be playing jokes on me, so that was one of the most memorable experiences that I had, and he didn't speak Spanish, but I just knew that me and him were just connecting because of how funny he was. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jared. Before I left on this trip, the reason I was so excited to return to Polo was because I couldn't wait to reunite with all the kids that I met last time. I couldn't wait to run around with those energetic little boys and girls and play games and just have a great time. But over time, and as each day flew by, it became more apparent that having a blast with all those kids wasn't the only reason that this trip would be unforgettable. Without a doubt, I enjoyed every last second I got to run around with a bunch of children who may normally not have the privilege to enjoy themselves on a daily basis, but the town of Polo is forced to deal with challenges every day that Americans don't really understand, and so their ability to step away from the hardships of everyday life and spend time with us brought smiles to their faces and ours as well. With fun and games aside, providing them with clean water made a greater impact than I had imagined. Our group was reassured every day that our efforts were making a monumental impact on each person in the town. The smiles, the laughs, and the tears of joy were all signs that they were making a difference on each and every family, that we were making a difference on each and every family that were in desperate need of clean water. I want to focus on one group in the town in particular that we provided clean water to, and that was the military. I learned something about the effect of our installation of purified water in the military base that had a positive impact on the pastor there, Pastor Neenan. The truth was that because we provided the military base with clean water, not only were they grateful for our contribution, but their relationship with the pastor became stronger. This was very important because the members of the military who witnessed us install the system in the base felt a certain entitlement to keep the town of Polo safer in return. So I was relieved to know that they were not just thankful for our actions, but they were appreciative of Pastor Neenan as well. The amount of fun that we had on the trip and our contribution to the people and just the great time that we had in their community was what made this an experience to remember.
Thanks to Connor's troop at 609. I moved here from Chicago approximately 2 years ago, and today I'm here to talk to you about storms. Everyone's kind of dealt with a storm one way or another, you know, whether or not they're actual storms or kind of more spiritual, whole instance. And there's not much you could do to prepare yourself for them. You know, when it's a real storm, all you could do is kind of barricade your house, hope nothing breaks, and kind of wait it out with your family. So those in the Midwest and South can, and the East Coast can kind of attest to that. And when it's more of a spiritual storm, best thing you could do is kind of protect yourself and stuff and that type of stuff. And keep holding on to God. And, in either case, it takes a large amount of hard work and, above all else, faith in God. Which brings me to a passage in the Bible, which I'd like to share with you. Sorry, I don't have the actual scripture thing. I had it. I lost it. I have the passage. I just... So, if you want context, sorry. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Oh, and they awoke him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even a wind and that even the wind and the sea obey him? And that's all. So, for a little historical context, we're kind of at the peak, the pinnacle of Jesus' career. He was a young and up-and-coming, reform-minded man of influence in the Jewish community, and he had many admirers. I mean, he's had quite a few enemies, but let's focus on the admirers for now. And on the day in question, Jesus and his disciples wanted to get away from the crowd. So they decided to go out into the sea, and while Jesus was taking a nap, you know, it's tiring being the Son of God, a giant storm came, and then all of a sudden, the disciples, one of the paragons, if I'm saying that right, one of the paragons of Christian faith lost just that, their faith. They cried and screamed about how they were surely doomed, but it did nothing. I mean, Jesus did end up calming the sea, but he certainly didn't enjoy it. Then he wasn't happy about it. Jesus was hurt. The disciples, his friends, his confidants, the people he spent most of his adult life with, just said, oh, we're doomed. We're not going to do anything. And, you know, he can't help us against, like, some wind and some water. Like, even after seeing countless of miracles of God being performed in front of them, you know, they thought the storm was going to kill them. And, you know, that's not a very good thing. And, like, to lose faith, that is bad. To lose faith and then to do nothing about it anyway is just awful. God will always try and help you. He will. He's God. But he can't clean up all of your mess. He can't. You're going to have to work just as hard as he is. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for assisting us in the many ways that we need, but help guide us to kind of help you out and help ourselves out and kind of work hard. And try and become the perfect image that you tried to create us to be. Thank you. In your glorious name, amen. So, sorry, not done yet. Sorry if I confused you. Ooh, I had a little break. But, you know, storms, they're destructive. They're a pain. They crush, they break, they destroy, they hurt you. It's not fun. But what people usually forget about storms is that they bring rebirth. They bring new life. I mean, like when it's an actual storm, if it breaks down a tree or like a house, it allows you to get that new addition on your house. Or like if it's a metaphorical storm and you get fired from your job, it allows you to pursue your dream. Of becoming a rodeo clown. I don't know what you guys dream of. But, now, I'm not going to say that, you know, there's a grand plan for us all. It's not what I'm about. And I'm not going to say that things will always go all right. But I will say that when bad things happen, the best thing to do is just go with God, work hard, and push through. And things can work out. Now, let me tell you two stories. Sorry, I'm dragging a bit. Head going on, but the first of which is going to be a personal story. Sorry, I like myself. Going to tell you a bit more. You know, I face some storm in my life. Maybe not big ones in the grand scheme of things, but, you know, still ones that have affected me. And moving from Chicago to here in Newhall, that was a storm. That was a bit of an ordeal, you know, for my whole family. But in my case, it was as if my whole world was being turned upside down. I mean, I lived in Chicago. I was born there, grew up there. Everyone I knew was there. My whole life was centered around there. I mean, outside of visiting family, like in the states on like the East Coast, Midwest, and Southern areas and such, I didn't really know any other place. And yeah, most of my family was there, my church, my scout troop, everything. And it was just, that was kind of odd, and it was a storm for me. But thanks to my family, and thanks to the scout troop I joined, and thanks to this wonderful congregation that's helped make my family feel welcome, you know, things have kind of worked out. I think I turned out okay. I mean, I don't really have a mirror with me to tell, but, you know, I think so. And, you know, the next and final story is a little more touching and a little better than mine, you know. It's just, you know. So it deserves a lot more recognition than, you know, how these types of things are given. And in a northern part of Polo, in the Dominican Republic, there's a lady pastor who we were assigned to bring water filtration unit for. And when we arrived there, she had a choice to put the unit in her own home or in her church. And she decided to kind of make it communal. People who would be able to go there to get fresh water and clean water and, you know, learn about God at the same time. Great marketing plan. But, you know, she cares about that community, and she worked hard. She works hard for it. He works hard to try and get people to be with God. She works hard to try and protect the community, and she keeps faith in God. And just like all throughout her personal experiences and all the troubles she has. And another like really cool thing that she did, part of our job is to go like back and stuff like that and redo the filtration unit and clean it out again to have the water completely purified and tested out some more. And it when we arrived, she already did it, you know. And it's not like a very simple thing. Like it's simple, but it's a pain. It's like, you know, it's a bunch of rocks and sand, and like you pour huge gallons of water in it. It takes time and it takes energy. I mean, like the people here can kind of attest to that. But yeah, she did it. She did it eagerly. She was super energetic. She was super happy that we came here to help her. And help the community. When we arrived, she was just crying. She was bawling out in tears. It was because of what we did. Because, you know, the people there, and same with a lot of people across the world, like, are dying because of unfiltered water. They're dying of super easily curable diseases like cholera. And, like, when was the last time we had, like, really a serious epidemic of cholera here in the U.S.? Long time. But, yeah, she worked super hard. And, you know, another story, final sub-story, is about, there's this little deaf boy in northern Polo. You know, he's orphaned and, of course, deaf. And no one really took care of him in the community. No one. Because, you see, the things in the Dominican are, or if you have a disability, you're kind of mocked and subjugated because of it. If you can't work, you are seen as useless. So, like, you know, people with glasses or people with disabilities, physical or mental, They're seen as useless and they're cast out of society and just given no help. And that wonderful little woman, that amazing pastor, she took that little boy in and she just has cared for him, and he pretty much took him as her own. And when we arrived with that filtration unit, she was just so happy that, you know, after all her hard work and all of her faith in God, that, you know, she was able to at least have a little bit of her suffering and the people of Polo's suffering alleviated it a little bit. And, yeah. So, yeah. Sorry, I'm kind of getting a loss of words and stuff. Sorry, that one story gets me wrapped. But let me say this. I want you guys to remember some as I leave. Just try and remember it. And I know that there's another guy coming up, but try. Bad things will happen in life. It's a part of living. It's inescapable. But if you work hard and you have faith in the Almighty, things will get better. Now, let us pray again. Lord, thank you for allowing us to go to the Dominican and help out those wonderful people there. Thank you for those great people like the female pastor. Thank you for this wonderful congregation. Thank you for the wonderful people that helped design the water filtration units, and just, I can't say any other words for it, but thank you. Thank you. In your glorious name, amen.
Thank you, Zach, for your sermon. Hey, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Richard Hauer. I'm 17. I've been going to this church for 11 years. They've been quite an interesting 11 years. I started here in second grade in TGIF and all those wonderful programs, and I made my way up into the youth group. Being somewhere for so long, you start to lose track of when events happen because you're always having fun times and funny stories. So one of my funny stories happened probably between sophomore and junior year in the summer. We decided that they were going to have a surprise lock-in, and at the surprise lock-in, it was a scavenger hunt at the zoo. But it wasn't you go and you buy things, it's you go and you act things out. Well, I happened to be dressed like Steve Irwin that day, so it was fitting what I did. We acted like we were filming a scene from Animal Planet, and I was going to tackle a gator because there was a fake gator right here. And as I ran over, a 5-year-old kid ran in front of me, and I jumped over him, that way I didn't hit him, and tripped over the gator. We didn't win. You know, you'd think that would have made us win, but we didn't. But that was one of the memories that has stuck with me ever since, and it's things like that that require wit and creativity. That wit and creativity also comes in handy on mission trips and writing sermons. These mission trips have lots of these enjoyable moments, from the meals we shared to the work we did and just all the various things that we did with the church in Polo. Zach was probably one of the funniest on the trips. For those of you who don't know Zach, he moved from Chicago to California recently, has a vast knowledge of history and a great sense of humor. When we were on our way to the hotel that we were staying in on the last night, we got to know our translator a lot better, so we asked him about his culture and just things that he's into and stuff like that. And food is huge in cultures, so it was fitting that Jeremiah, our translator, asked what our national food was. Without missing a beat, Zach said, "Burgers, fries, and freedom." Everybody on the bus laughed because this is the type of thing that we are going to be sharing with our kids and the next generation of youth kids. The thing that really made the trip was the leadership that we all showed. This means the youth as well as the sponsors, because more often than not, a challenge would come up, like that young kid, who we would just have to figure out what to do in a split second, and it normally went pretty well. Before I go any further, I'd like to have a prayer. Lord, thank you for bringing us here today, for allowing all our youth and our sponsors to go on this trip, teaching us what it's like to be leaders, Lord, thank you for watching over us and putting the Holy Spirit in us to teach us these leadership abilities. Thank you for the word that you've given us that I could speak from, and hopefully everybody will be able to be a leader someday. Amen. My verse is Joshua 16 through 22. Then the people answered, "Far it be from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnessed against yourselves. You've chosen to serve the Lord." Through my research on this, I realized that most people who have read this, who are theologians and people, you know, have studied the Bible really well, all happen to have the same sort of idea of what this passage meant. The first thing that you must have to follow God is the willingness of an open mind. There can't be any outside forces driving you to serve God. It must come from within. And in a commentary on Joshua, there's an author that says, "Those that are bound for heaven must be willing to swim against the stream. They must not do as the most do, but as the best do." And that's what leaders do. We swim against the stream to make the most the best. The basis of our trip in Polo was to go install water systems and teach the kid the word of God. But that's not enough. What we ended up doing was making miracles for two neighboring towns, as well as making little shepherds out of the kids that we taught. Before we left the trip, we had made two water installation groups because it required a lot of physical labor as well as a lot of walking. One group would get the pastor's house and surrounding neighbors, and the other group would get the towns that are on the outside of the village. During the second day of installations, Sam came back and was feeling ill. Without missing a beat, I asked her what she wanted to do, and she said she was going to lay down. So she laid down, and I took her place and installed the water purification systems with that group. That was the type of leadership that God smiles upon, and that our youth group has taught us since we joined. Like it says in Joshua, "It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes." Those were the great signs that we saw. The times of leadership where something needed to be filled, that's when those signs were shown. The Lord was with us on this trip. He was the real leader. Not meaning to boast, but there are many times on this trip where I would make split-second leadership decisions and be glad that I did. We were taking the role of the disciples. God had handpicked them to do his work, and it felt like he handpicked us to do it as well. Each of them were average people, just like us, coming from all different walks of life. There were two other times that leadership was shown through the group. The first was when we traveled to the tiny neighboring town where we met the pastor, who was installing a water system in her church. As we finished, we went outside to present the pastor with her certificate and pray. We all grabbed hands and bowed our head. At this point, our translator wasn't with us, so Sarah happened to be a very good Spanish speaker, and she was going to translate. We were going pretty well through the prayer, and all of a sudden, Sarah stopped. As I looked up, I saw Sarah and Violet crying, and I was wondering what was going on because I can't speak Spanish. This kind of gave me a sinking feeling, you know, because you don't know and you're sitting there and it's quiet and people are crying and you want to help in some way. The day before that, here's some context so you guys know. The day before that, at the kids club, there was a young boy who wasn't talking or interacting with any of the other kids. He also didn't look like he was feeling well. It turns out the young boy was deaf. Sarah began to translate again. It also turned out that the young boy was an orphan and that he had health problems. Having health problems in the Dominican and not being able to communicate them is sad because, first of all, finding doctors and things like that is very hard. And not being able to communicate what you're feeling kind of leaves you stranded, leaves you with whatever you have. So once Sarah translated this to us, we all began to cry, and we didn't know what to do. But then each of us felt like the Holy Spirit was in us, and we prayed. And those prayers were very strong. They've stuck with me ever since, especially Connor, Caitlin, Zach, and Violet. They were in my group, and it had felt like they were the disciples. Their words were coming straight from God. We all prayed, and it was very powerful. Then on our last night in Polo, we had a church service so that they could thank us for the work that we did and so that everybody could share testimony. All of our youth, as well as our sponsors, shared a testimony, and it made the town cry. It also ended up going for 3 hours, so maybe they're crying because they're tired. As we were finished, a young woman came up to us who was pregnant. She wanted us to bless, pray over her child and bless the child that it could come to this world safe and healthy. Another thing we take for granted is having our kids in a hospital, having doctors all the way along the birthing process to make sure the kid is born safe and healthy. They don't have that there. They have their kids in their houses, and they're unable to normally get doctors because, as you know, Polo is in the middle of the island, but you go to the end of the road, and then you go 6 miles past the end of the road to get to Polo. So finding doctors and things is near to impossible. This hasn't left me because her child is the next generation that will be leading our countries and helping us progress into a better world. Her child could be the one to make water purification systems for the Dominican, to make sure everybody in the Dominican has pure water and ways to stay healthy. This impacted all of us greatly because, you know, so many times we take for granted things like pure water. And as you know, last time when we preached, it was all about water and being called the water angels. And so it's great that we did what we did. Our prayer meant the world to her, and it meant the world to us. Just like the surprise scavenger hunt at the zoo, it made us think on our toes and made us make decisions in an instant. The young kid who ran in front of me is that next generation of thinkers. So were the young men and women in our group, as well as the young men and women in Polo. This made me thank God for all the blessings that He has had in my life and all the roles He has given me as a leader. Now it's your turn. Whenever you have the ability to help someone, whether it's as simple as holding a door open or some sort of project that they need help with, God is calling on you, and He smiles when you answer that call. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for all the wonderful youth and sponsors who were able to make this type of service happen, as well as the mission trips. Thank you for giving us each a role today as a leader, and that please give roles to the people in our church that they can be a leader and know what it feels like to have gone on that trip. Lord, please bless everyone no matter what hardships they're going through. Let your words bless them and bless us. And as we all leave this church today, know that you are with us. Amen.